Well, thank you, Steve, and worship team. It was fun playing with you this morning. I just want to mention there's a few birthdays today. Well, there's a couple birthdays today. Apparently, it's Jake N's birthday today, and it's also Bernie Koop. Bernie Koop is 91 years old. So I want to pass on our congratulations to you guys. Make sure you congratulate them in the foyer afterwards. On the other side, in a church family, there's always good news and there's always bad news. And just want to pass on to let you know that Sharon Richardson, make sure you keep her in your prayers because it looks like her father is in his last days. So please make sure to keep Sharon and the whole Richardson family in your prayers and just pray for God's comfort and peace in this difficult time. Today, we're starting a new series called Money Matters. And God's Word has a lot to say about how we manage our money. Last week, we ended our series in the book of Judges. We had 8 weeks in the book of Judges, and now we're starting a three-week series with money. Now, I need to clarify that this has nothing to do. Apparently, there's some DVDs out there called Money Matters, and this has nothing to do with those DVDs and that material. I just like the name. So that's what we're calling it. We're just calling it Money Matters, nothing to do with the DVDs out there. For fun, what I was going to do today was just, you know that song, Money, Money, Money? Most of us will know it. I was thinking just for fun, we'll just play that intro today. But as I checked out the lyrics, there's actually some really good biblical lyrics to it. And so what we're going to do, we're going to listen to the song and I'm going to direct your attention to the lyrics on the screen behind me as we open up our series on Money Matters.
I know that money is the root of all.
There you go. That song is called For the Love of Money by the OJs, and I hadn't realized it before, but we're going to discover that's the first line of 1 Timothy 6:10, I believe, or 9, I think it's 10. There's some good biblical words in there for us to consider. Now, the song is twice as long, but we're not going to bother listening to the whole thing. That's the gist of it. Now, as the song suggests, though, people do funny things. People do strange things for money. And so in this series, I'm going to be encouraging you to be avoiding bad things. And instead, I'm going to be encouraging you to do good things with your money. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the service, Lord. And Lord, your word has a lot to say on money, and we're only going to scratch the surface of it. But we pray, Lord, that that we would come to better understand, Lord, how to better manage the resource that you have given us, Lord, just so that we can, it's just a practical thing in life, Lord. And we just pray that we would honor you with our money. And if there's something we need to change in our minds, our hearts, our attitudes about this whole business of money, we pray that you would convict us of those things that need to be changed in this series and today. And we just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. I want to start with a story that's told by Suze Orman, and she says this. She says, when I was 13, my dad owned his own business, a tiny shack where he sold chicken, ribs, hamburgers, hot dogs, and fries. Now, that's my kind of place. One day, the frying oil caught fire, and the whole place exploded in flames. My dad bolted from the store before the flames could engulf him. Mom, Dad, and I stood outside watching the fire burn. Suddenly, my dad realized he had left his money in the metal cash register inside the building and ran back into the inferno. He tried to open the metal register, but the drawer was sealed shut. So Dad picked up the scalding metal box and carried it outside. When he threw the register on the ground, the skin on his arms... I'll go over here. When he threw the register on the ground, the skin on his arms and his chest came with it. He had escaped the fire safely once untouched, but now he was severely injured. And get this, she says, that taught me money was more important than life. From that point on, earning money, lots of money, not only became what drove me professionally, but also became my emotional priority. And so money does strange things to some people. Here are those verses I was referring to, 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. And here's that verse. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Now, although this passage is warning us of the dangers of money, the Bible has a lot to say on and gives us much insight on saving, investing, inheritance, debt, loans, giving, how you do business, wages, fair wages, all sorts of stuff, etc. And there's a lot of stuff, and like I said before, we're only going to scratch the surface of this whole topic on money. And so in this series, we're going to appear like we're jumping around at random at times. I'm going to try to stay on theme. But at some moments or points in this series, we might jump around a bit. If it's okay with you, I'd like to share a joke or two about money. A Scottish proverb says, don't marry for money, you can borrow it cheaper. Here's another one. A man was telling a story about his wife's purse being stolen, and he says this. He says, my wife's purse was stolen the other day. It had all her credit cards in it. I was going to report it, but the thief was spending less than she was. And so today I just want to talk about, we're kind of in the category of debt and investing and risk-taking. And so I want to share with you 5 points. Some points might sound familiar and some points might sound a little unique. And we're going to start with what might sound familiar to you, but is an important reminder for us, all of us who are living in Canada, or most of us, I should say. And number one is this, being in the category of debt now, number one, kill the debt. Kill the debt. Proverbs 22, verse 7 says this. Just as the rich rule the poor, So the borrower is servant to the lender. Just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. And so sometimes they're reading scripture or even other historical documents. If someone couldn't pay their debt back in history, they potentially could be a slave for life for a long period of time. Bad situation to be in. Sometimes you hear of stories of parents having to sell their children because of debt. Now, for the most part, we like to think that this thing is a thing of the past, but it's not. It doesn't necessarily happen in our culture, but it is happening around the world. When you get in debt, it can do some really nasty things in your life. Now, even though we don't have this whole idea of debt slavery in our culture where we live right now, I'm sure we all can agree that being in debt is just an absolutely crummy feeling to be in. Sometimes it can feel like it's oppressive, or like you're in a straitjacket. Sometimes it can create a great deal of stress in marriages and in families. Now, sometimes we go into debt, and it's our mistake why we went into debt. Sometimes, though, debt just comes upon us because that's the way life happens. World Vision says this. I don't know how they came up with this stat, but according to World Vision, they said this. Canadians are spending 163% of what they make. In layman's terms, we're basically spending more than what we make. Someone once said that what leads most people into debt, this is interesting, what leads most people into debt is trying to catch up with people who are already there. What leads most people into debt is trying to catch up with people who are already there. Now, sometimes the bad side of debt, the bad reasons we go into debt, may be because, number one, that we have a feeling of entitlement. I deserve this, so because I deserve it, doesn't matter how much money I have, I'm going to buy it. Or maybe you feel like you got to keep up with the Joneses. You have a coworker, a brother, a sibling, a sister, a friend who has something that you want, and you go out and you buy it. Or maybe you're just plain lazy. It costs this much to live. You're only making this much. You have the opportunity to make more, but I don't feel like it. And so you'd rather live in a cycle of debt. That's the bad side of debt, and those are some of the bad reasons why people might go into debt. I have a family member who I was talking to recently, and now, $7,000 or so doesn't sound like a big number, but this family member is has about $7,000 on credit cards that never ever gets paid off. The balance just keeps on floating at that rate, whatever. Anyways, it's really bad debt because it's like a full credit card, even department store debts, whatever. I can't remember the exact interest rates, but approximately we discovered that this person was paying, on average, $2,000 just in interest alone on this small, relatively small debt. And then we discovered, oh, you could probably be visiting us a couple times a year just on the interest you're paying to your credit card on this small balance. And then we stopped the conversation because that was a kind of a depressing conversation. Now, I just discovered as well, once you do the math, if that amount of money was put in a 0% interest account over the course of a lifetime, you might be able to purchase the house that we just sold in Chatham. It might be approximately $160,000 over 80 years or whatever. If you factor in compound interest and all that wonderful stuff, who knows how much that amount could be. The point of me saying that is that many people in our culture, there might be someone here who is struggling with, you have high interest credit card debt. And I want to challenge you today to attack that debt. Kill the debt. Go to war against the debt. I think anything over 20% is it's very bad. And even in our culture, even something over 10% is not really an exciting interest rate to be paying back. So do what you can, get aggressive against your debt, cut expenses, do your best not to do frivolous things with your money, get a second job if you have to, cut off your left arm if you must. Don't go that far. But do get aggressive, take it seriously. Tell your friends and your family, I'm not going to buy you expensive Christmas gifts this year. I got to take care of this bad debt. You know, one of the best weapons against going into debt, I believe, is finding contentment, which leads us to our second point. Find contentment. And it's one of the most beautiful things in life when we find contentment. Here's a few verses on that very topic. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, "Yet true godliness with contentment is in itself great wealth." Philippians 4. Now, Paul's writing this from prison, by the way. Philippians 4. "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little." Hebrews 13:5 says this. "Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you." And so Christians, I believe, should be the most content people on the planet. If we truly have God in our lives, if we have Jesus in our life, what really more do we need? I mean, of course we need food and clothing and all that good stuff, but we need to be the most thankful, the most content people on the planet. All right, so I talked about debt. I talked about how we need to be content with what we have. Now let me just flip that, and let's go in a slightly different direction. Point three. Maybe you're sitting here and you have paid off your debts and you're doing well financially. And then you look at others who maybe aren't doing that well financially. And so the third point, which may be for you this morning, is number three, don't judge. Don't judge. Sometimes some people are in a cycle of debt simply because life happens. Maybe you were born into poverty. Maybe you've had a health crisis recently. Maybe the economy took a turn on you. Maybe you experienced an unexpected job loss. Life happens, and you find yourself in a bit of a financial mess. Maybe you're good, responsible, hardworking, and there is little you could have done to have changed your circumstance. Yes, the Bible addresses laziness and envy on one hand, but there seems to be more verses in the Bible that remind us that there's poor people in the world, and there's always going to be poor people in the world, and you need to care for the poor, you need to show mercy on the poor, and it's just, again, a reality of life that there are going to be poor among us. Jesus said in John 12, verse 8, he said, "You will always have the poor among you." And so I want to say this. I want to say this boldly but sensitively. I've got mixed feelings when rich people, they tell poor people that all you need to do is budget. If you could just learn to budget, all your financial problems would be solved. Yes, we need to budget. But some people are just living in a cycle of poverty where it's just the numbers are not adding up and they can't. It's not going to work no matter what they do. And you know, if life costs this much, the bare basics, and this is all that they're bringing in, and it's just not working. So rich people, be careful. Or those, not necessarily rich people, but those who have it all together financially, be careful, don't be arrogant, thinking that all people have to do is just simply budget. Because sometimes that just doesn't work. Or manage their money better, or just assume they're being frivolous. Be careful. Don't judge. Yes, budget. Yes, don't be frivolous. Yes, go to war against your debt. But don't judge those who are struggling, because you never know what their situation is like. Let's move on to the next point, point number four. Now we're switching gears. We're talking about maybe risk-taking and investing. And number four, I want to encourage you to take a risk. Take a risk. Now, I think this is something that churches need to talk more about. Typically, when you hear series or messages on money, you always hear the debt talk. Get rid of debt. Here's how you get rid of it. But I don't really hear this a lot. Go ahead and take a risk in life. Okay? Jesus tells a parable in Matthew 25, and he tells a parable of a man going on a long trip. And before he goes on this long trip, he hands out a bag of silver, five bags of silver to his first servant. He hands out two bags of silver to his second servant. And he gives one bag of silver to his third servant. Well, the first two, they do really well. They invest it, and they double their money. The last one was too afraid. He was afraid of his master, and instead he hid the money, his master's money in the ground. The master returns. He discovers the first two double their money, and he praises them. He's all excited. It's a good day. And then he goes and he has this conversation with the third servant who just buried his money in the ground. And he says this. starting at verse 24 of Matthew 25. Here's the conversation that takes place. Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." And this is kind of intense. And then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. Those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so, like I said, that is an intense parable. Now, first of all, you should know that the primary context of that parable is in the context of Jesus coming back and returning. And so we need to keep in mind that the primary purpose for that is just reminding us to be ready for Jesus' return, for the Master's return. However, a secondary principle we can learn from this parable is that God gives us gifts. He gives us resources, and he wants us to use them. And I believe that God wants us to take a risk from time to time. On the other hand, it's important that we don't take... The Bible warns us against high-risk investments and get-rich-quick schemes. Let me just read Proverbs 13:11 to you. "Wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows over time." I want to tell you a story of someone I tried to help a few years back. I had a friend who was working in a minimum wage job. He was married, he just had a child, and he was a sole provider for their family. They were struggling. And I had another friend who was doing very well. He was kind of almost co-owned his own company. And I was able to get friend A, let's call him Bob. Bob, I found another job for you with Larry. Right away, you'll be getting paid more than minimum wage. The benefits package is better. There's opportunity for growth and advancement in your career as you get qualified. What do you say? Now, Bob, he didn't want to do it. And you know why he didn't want to do it? Because he was afraid in the first 3 months, since he would be without benefits, if his daughter had a dentist bill, he wouldn't know how to pay it. And so he was afraid to take a small risk for long-term improvement just because he was just afraid of one small thing happening. I got to be honest with you, that drove me crazy. Here is a golden opportunity for you to advance and take care of your family, and you're afraid because you don't want to take a simple risk. If you did the calculations, the extra dollar or two or three per hour that he made would cover the dentist bill if there was one over this first few months. Now, I also want to say as well, on the flip side, there's nothing wrong working for minimum wage. I should tell you actually what happened. Actually, he continued on his minimum wage dead-end job, and his minimum wage employer let him go a year later. And then he was with two children and no job. Where am I here? Oh, yeah. There's nothing wrong working a minimum wage job. I got to tell you, one of my favorite jobs was actually working in a minimum wage job with absolutely no chance of a raise ever in my life, and I loved it. I worked at a convenience store, and I had so much fun remembering the names of regular customers. I realized at that point that I wanted to be a pastor, and I realized, hey, it's probably important to remember people's names. I'm going to use this opportunity to do that. And so as regular customers came in, they would come in after, you know, a week or two. I would call them by name. "Oh, hey, Maureen." And she would look at me like, "You're a stalker," you know? Anyways, nothing wrong with working minimum wage. And in fact, sometimes I hear of stories of people who are, I know someone who is in the prime of his life, you know, 20 years old or whatever. He's smart, he's healthy, he's strong, he could do things, he could work. But he did not want to work a minimum wage job because he felt it was too below him. And instead, he racked up debt with his parents to pay his rent. Ah, That's like getting your nails in a chalk bar with two hands and just running it down the board. That drives me crazy. Nothing is below anyone. If you got to do what you got to do, just do what you got to do. I visited Norlin, his workplace, this past week, and that was a lot of fun. And they have this unique policy that's posted right at their customer service desk. And you can ask in the name of this policy. I probably can't, probably shouldn't say it in church, but it's a really unique policy, which I thought was really cool. And two of the points that they ask of their, that they tell their employees is this. They tell their employees, number one, be proud of where you work. And number two, no job is beneath anyone. No job is beneath anyone. Don't have the attitude that I'm too important for this, so I'd rather be in debt. Proverbs 22:13 says, the lazy person claims, there's a lion out there. If I go outside, I might get killed. They're trying to say sometimes you make silly excuses to avoid work. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, in a similar way, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. In other words, life is full of risks. Don't be afraid to take a risk. And in order to better yourself, you may have to, now this is the good side of debt, okay? We talked about the bad side of debt. Now this is kind of the good side of debt. In order to better yourself and your family, your situation, you might actually have to take out a debt or a loan. Don't be afraid to do that. That being said, be careful if you do. You might want to get educated. You might want to go through a career change. Maybe you're thinking through that. Maybe some of us want to build up equity by buying a house or buying an extra piece of equipment for your business. Those are all good things. And I think it's a very biblical thing to say, take a risk, but be careful while you're doing it. Be careful. Calculate the risks. And so in some ways, we should actually see debt as somewhat of a blessing. I think, for me, the opportunity for me to go in debt was a blessing. You know, if I couldn't go in debt, I couldn't buy a house. If I couldn't have went in debt, I wouldn't have got my bachelor's and master's. And I don't know if I'd be here standing here in front of you because, the world likes educated people in certain industries. Whatever your case, whatever your business, your education, whatever you're doing in life, it's okay to take a risk. it's okay to take a loan out, go in debt, if it means it's going to better your life. All that being said, maybe you are successful financially. You have killed the debt. You are a content person. Maybe you've taken a risk and you have made it. You've made your hundreds, you've made your thousands, you've made your millions. But let's remember point number five. Let's think eternally. Think eternally. Let me say this, let me share with you what Matthew 6 says. It says, don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. So like I said, maybe you've killed the debt. Maybe you've taken a risk. Maybe you've made your hundreds. Maybe you've made your thousands. Maybe you've made your millions. But remember, life is short. And it's going to feel like tomorrow that each and every one of us are going to be on our deathbed. And we're going to be one breath away from eternity. It's coming soon, and it's coming to us all. And so hopefully we're thinking about how to make an eternal difference with the money and the resources that God has given us. So, number one, kill the debt, wage war against bad debt. Number two, the best way to combat debt is a sense of finding contentment. Number three, just because you made it doesn't mean that everyone else is going to make it too. And remember not to judge. Don't judge those who are in a difficult circumstance. Number four, take a risk. Take a risk. It's a good thing to do that. Number five, remember to think eternally. Let me close in prayer while the worship team comes back. Lord, money is a strange thing in a lot of ways. But Lord, your word gives us principles to understand how we should be managing our money. Lord, help us to acknowledge that really all the money we have, all the resources we have, all the opportunities we've had in life really are from you. And we thank you and we praise you for that. We just pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here, including myself, Lord, who's not managing our money in a biblical way, Lord, that you would gently remind us of the things that we need to change and tweak in our life, whether it's actual budgeting or an attitude, Lord, in our heart and our mind that's not right. And thank you, Lord, for providing for our needs. And we just pray you continue to bless our service today and also our series as we continue on in the weeks to come. We pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.